This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 18, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. This is the open session for Thursday, June 18th, 2009. We'll come to order. I would make a remark that Commissioner Weintraub is recused from both of these matters and will not be here today. I will begin with the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the open meeting of May 7th, 2009 and May 14th, 2009. Mr. Chairman, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of correction approval minutes as set forth in agenda documents number 09-30 and agenda document 09-31.
Well, thank you very much. All in favor? All opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 5-0. The first matter is we have a late submitted document. Mr. Chairman, would you like to move to consider that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules in order to consider agenda documents number 09-32 and 09-32-A.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the motion carries 5-0. We have a presentation from Joshua Bloom and Robert Knott on the AO 0932.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator John Kerry and his principal campaign committee requested an advisory opinion, and you have before you agenda document numbers 09-32 and 09-32A, which provide three possible responses and are designated Draft A, Draft B, and Draft C. The committee plans to provide campaign funds to a film company for its use in developing a documentary film about soldiers in Iraq. Senator Kerry plans to serve as an executive producer on the film. Senator Kerry would not be paid for his work, nor would he have a financial interest in the film. If the film is produced, the committee will receive an amount equal to 120% of what it provided. The committee asks whether the proposal constitutes a permissible transfer of campaign funds for investment purposes under commission regulations. Draft A concludes that the proposal is permissible so long as Senator Kerry derives no financial benefit from the film because it involves a transfer of campaign funds for investment purposes. Draft B concludes that the proposal is not a transfer of campaign funds for investment purposes. Instead, Draft B concludes that the proposal represents an impermissible conversion of campaign funds to personal use. Draft C arrives at the same conclusion as Draft B, but for slightly different reasons. We received one comment on Drafts A and B from the requester. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of the council? If not, I'd like to make a record that we did have the draft C was submitted on the internet last night, and we received an email request to come before the commission by council for the respondent. And I want to make a record that we've had requests of the kind before, and we've not done that, and we have not had a procedure for it. Not that it couldn't be done ad hoc, but that would be sometimes felt as treading on unstable waters without any real rules to go by. We have had a recent hearing on that, and I think Mr. Elias and others would be glad to know that we are seriously considering an approach toward getting that done. There are some complications because for a number of reasons, and whether it should be an oral argument or not an oral argument, or should it just be answering questions from a commissioner, and to what extent third parties should participate if it got beyond just that. So, but those are ones that I think we feel we can work out, and look forward to adopting something along that line in the near future, but unfortunately not today. We did mention if you want to take the time to comment further on agenda document C, then that would be fine. But as I understand it, Mr. Elias, you're comfortable having us proceed today, and that's what we'll do. So, is there any discussion, questions, and motions this time, Commissioner McGann?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple points. To receive the email, and I would support a motion to allow the requester to speak even in this case on an ad hoc basis, because this is a sort of AO that truly is an AO request. It's the law, I don't think, is particularly unclear how the law applies to these facts, I think, is caused some disagreement. I would support also a permanent or at least a temporary pilot program, just anything, on certain AOs, allowing, if the commission feels it would be helpful, to allow requesters to address the commission. I don't think it needs to be a legal oral argument. I think it really needs to be limited to fact questions, because you have to balance it with the need to keep AOs moving. There is actually a draft that would do this. I hope to have it considered next week at an open meeting, and also have other items I'd like considered, and I'd like to give credit where credit's due, because with the AO policy, the Office of General Counsel was very proactive and actually prepared for our review a draft, and I think everyone's looked at it and had some an opportunity for some input, and there'll be more of that before next week. But in addition to the AO policy, not to get ever ahead of ourselves, but I think the next matter may illustrate why we may want a similar opportunity in the audit context. And I'd like something considered next week on that, and I'd like all these to be able to go blue before the meeting in case there's folks out there who want to comment on these. And that's another work in progress. Turning to the merits of the AO, my sense is there are not, at this point, enough votes to give an affirmative answer of yes to the requester. I really am not looking to say no, but I can't seem to find a rationale that works for me to say no. And in my sort of analysis, I come at it from that which is not prohibited must be permitted. And I've read the regs. I've read a lot of things. I can't seem to find a no anywhere in the body of FEC law broadly defined. I don't see it as personal use necessarily. I think the commission has had a very wide open approach to the use of campaign funds short of personal use, and personal use is I think been defined over the years rather clearly. I'm not convinced this is personal use. The requester seems to represent that it's an investment, and I can't seem to figure out why it's not an investment. Maybe at the end of the day it's not, because maybe there's more facts out there, who knows, but on its face, and that's how I judge advisory opinions, I look at them as submitted. I'm having trouble coming up with a no. Draft C, the late document, I read it to say almost that somehow campaigns could have personal use of campaign funds. I'm struggling with that draft, but my sense is ultimately, unless there's been some change, there is not going to be the sort of consensus on this request that I had hoped for. But with that, I yield back, and thank you, Chairman, for the time.
Thank you. Any further comments? Commissioner Barley.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond to Commissioner McGann's discussion of additional procedures, and I share his view, and I'm glad to hear that we're going to have some movement on that, because we have been discussing those matters, and I think it's time that we take some final action on those matters and create some pilot programs so we can have some experience with it, so we know what will work for us and what will work best for requesters. And also in the audit procedure, I'm glad to hear that. We appreciate the opportunity to comment on some ideas, and I think we need to move forward on those, so I appreciate that. With respect to the advisory opinion before us, my plan is to vote for draft C, because I think it does the best job of answering the questions presented in the request, and perhaps we do take a slightly different approach to these. My view of advisory opinion requests is when looking for permission and a approval from the commission, I approach it looking at the history of what has been done in the past, and I agree that there's not a lot of hard law on what investment means in our world, and I don't think it quite means the same thing in the financial world, because there is this personal use restriction. I think that it isn't like the other items that have been described as investments, because they retain a liquidity, they retain the ability of a campaign to access those funds at any point in time. This money may become completely unavailable, and there's no guarantee that it will. It's the repayment of the funds is entirely contingent on something outside of what the campaign is involved in. This the development of a movie, and I don't have a lot of experience developing a movie, so I can't speak with clarity on what development is, what a proposal is, what all those pieces are. The comment that we received yesterday, I think that there are perhaps ways that this might not be personal use because it may be related to the duties of the office holder. Unfortunately, I don't think we have enough facts before us about the movie itself. We know about that the movie is about veterans coming back from the Iraq War and a particular injury that they may have. And while I completely agree that Senator Kerry hasn't been involved in those issues, it's been well known, and as the daughter of a Vietnam vet myself, I appreciate his activism on behalf of veterans. But without knowing more about the particulars of the movie, I don't see the nexus on the facts that we've been presented with between that and his official duties as a senator, because in general, the Senate isn't involved in making movies, documentaries, if it were related to a particular bill or something like that. But these are all hypotheticals, and we don't have those facts before us. And if there were another request, you know, that provided additional facts, I assume we would all be open to, you know, addressing another request in this matter. But I don't think that we can be expected to render an opinion on assumptions about what we think might be. It's just not my prerogative just to assume what might be involved. And so I simply don't think the nexus between the documentary and the senator's official duties has been met. And so without more, I can't conclude that it's related to his duties as an office holder.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner McGann.
Actually, I have a question for counsel about what is an advisory opinion and what it isn't. Let's say hypothetically, requester asks for an AO. We grant the AO, and it turns out that the facts upon which we base the decision either aren't quite right, or there's more facts, or somebody's vote was an assumption because they sort of drew an inference that it turns out there's a fact that no one thought was material at the time, and it comes up in a MER. Is that AO still protection for the requester? My understanding is the answer would be that we know, but not to suggest the answer. But I think isn't it really incumbent upon the requester to be clear? And if there's a question up here, we can still vote on the AO as it's presented. And then if they've walked the high wire, then they pay the price. Is that really a fair statement of the law?
Well, I don't want to be too categorical, but that does sound to me basically like a fair statement. I would note that we do put in at the end of all of our advisory opinions something that says that it's based on the facts that are presented, and if there are materially different facts, then they're not entitled to rely on it. Like all lawyers, I suppose the answer in part is one of these, it depends. Do you think that the facts are materially different or not, that whatever facts might not have been presented to us, so there could be differences of view on that. But yes, I think...
How much obligation does the commission have to ferret out the facts beyond what the requester has submitted? Are we to take the facts as presented by the requester is true, or is it our obligation to determine whether or not those facts are true?
Well, I think that we do in general take the facts that are given to us as true. There could, of course, always be times when there is something known to us, and I'm not saying anything whatsoever about this request. We're speaking hypothetically. I
That's why I'm keeping it hypothetical. I don't want to narrow it to this request because I don't want to cast any.
Right, right. I mean, there may be situations where, for example, a requester has told us something, and then if we look at the reports that the requester filed, they're saying something different. We would, in instances like that, have a phone conversation to try to figure out why that discrepancy, and we might suggest that they might want to clarify it if there's something that they can resolve in their request, or you know, who knows, maybe it's something where they need to file an amendment to a report, for example.
Thanks, that's helpful. With respect to this request, I've already stated I'm having trouble coming up with a no, and then because of that, the way I think, I end up in saying yes. But in this case, I think I certainly respect Commissioner Barrelly's view that there are some questions remaining in her mind. And I think it does illustrate the need for a little bit of change here as to how we may do AOs, particularly when it does get into thorny factual issues in areas that we're not necessarily experts. I've never made a movie. I don't know the details of making a movie. We've had other AOs where there's new technology, which some of us may understand, some of us may not understand, some of us may know we understand enough to be dangerous, but not enough to know what we're doing. And that's really the nature of my question, is there are AOs that come up that really do raise questions on a factual level that are not the sort of thing that we do every day. And again, if someone thought it helpful to have the requester address us with respect to remaining factual questions, I would certainly support that motion. I, with all due respect to the requester, don't need to hear from the senator or senator's counsel on this because I think it's close enough for me to know where I am. But again, I would support that in this case, or even taking more time to get a procedure in place and let them do it if anyone else thinks that helpful. If not, then I've made my pitch, and I hope we can soon get some procedures in place that will address, you know, in the future, other AO requests that may have not so clear factual predicates. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any further comment? Commissioner McGann. Excuse me, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would echo the sentiment of my colleagues that I, too, support putting into place a procedure that would allow requesters an opportunity, especially in cases that might present either, you know, kind of thorny legal issues or thorny factual issues, to have them afford them an opportunity to address the commission. I think it would help flesh out some issues, answer some questions, and provide some greater clarity for us as we decide how we're going to vote on a particular advisory opinion. So I would just echo what they said and also voice my support for putting into place that procedure and other procedures. With regard to this particular request, I agree that it is different than other requests that we've received in the past with respect to the issue of, you know, investment. Is it an investment? But we do have, you know, our regs do permit the transfer of campaign funds for what we call investment purposes. We don't define investment. And so that kind of puts us in the tricky situation of trying to determine what is a legitimate investment and what is not a legitimate investment. And movie investments, this isn't an unusual investment. There's nothing about, I mean, this is ever since, you know, movies became mainstream entertainment, investment in those has been quite commonplace. Investors all the time are putting money into movies hoping it's the next Star Wars and not the next Ishtar. But it is not, to me, just because it's a movie doesn't mean that it's not a legitimate investment. And also, even a movie about a public policy issue doesn't mean that it's not one that isn't seeking a return on investment. We've seen, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11 or Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, while very heavily invested in issues of politics and public policy, ended up turning, I think, fairly sizable profits. So I'm not in a position to say that there's nothing that I can see in our regulations or in the statute that demonstrates to me that this is not a legitimate investment. Like I said before, this isn't you know, what is and what isn't legitimate is not an area of expertise within, at least with not me personally, and generally not in the commission's expertise either. And without seeing anything that says that this is prohibited or is not a legitimate investment, I too find that if it's not prohibited and there's nothing that says you can't do this, then you can. And so I am inclined to find a yes on this. As Commissioner McGann pointed out, I don't think we have four votes for a yes. It may be just one of these situations where the best we can do is to instruct counsel to draft up a response saying that the commission hasn't been able to decide. But that's where I have fallen. that's where I come out on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Any further comment? I have been willing to support the B draft and then the more refined, I guess, C draft in view of further thinking on it. And my view is, if we automatically say it's yes until we say no, when do we ever say no? I think we have to be willing to look at things on a case by case basis. We've always done that, and case by case means that there are some cases that get a no. And there's some cases that get a yes. And I look at this particular situation, and it seems to me that when you ask a contributor to contribute to a campaign, and then the money goes into promotion and the construction of a film, that it's beyond the pale of what most people think when they're making a contribution to a candidate to get elected. And typically the money, in my view, in the view of most donors, would be that it's going to further a person's campaign. And in this particular case, there's no evidence that's going to be the case, but the one thing that I think most donors think is that the money will be there for campaign use. When one goes to invest in a movie, it may be an investment that some people can afford to get into. For many, it's not an investment that people are willing and perhaps should, depending on their circumstances. Good. It involves significantly more risk of a return than it does when you put money in bonds or CDs or ways in which there can be a modicum of interest in a return, but you never lose the liquidity, and very, very rare would you ever lose the amount, at least up to $250,000 of guaranteed funds if that's what you decide to do. And I think that a trust fund, the campaign funds have been given a wide latitude historically, but we shouldn't lose track of the fact that the way the funds are raised, the way the funds are accounted for, and the way the funds are expended are still very much governed by law, and in some degree there's a trust relationship that exists in how they're used. So I'm concerned about giving a carte blanche to investment by a committee in a film. And if we take the position that it's always yes until no, and investment in a film is okay, then I can see there'll be a potential for a lot of different ways in which we'll be trying to figure out, okay, now when will we say no? Because there'll be the thought that this money could be used for a variety of different reasons, may be lost and may never be available at a time when the person may really need it for campaign funds. So those are my concerns on going this far in this particular case. There was also, and perhaps some elaboration could be helpful, but it appears to me that there is a position or a potential for a transfer of the rights to either the senator or the committee. It looks to me like the senator, so that at some point the senator could be an owner of an LLC or a portion of an LLC, which would have an outright interest in the film. If that were the case, then the money from that investment by the campaign funds would actually inure to the benefit personally of the senator. And that, I think, would be beyond the pale of what I'm comfortable with supporting today. Commissioner Hatter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think in this case, for me, it's easier to say yes when there is no, because the law that governs this specific question that we're dealing with now specifically says that
you may spend campaign funds for a list of purposes and for any other lawful purpose, unless such use is personal use. And because I don't think this is personal use, it does fit into the category of for any other lawful purpose. And while I think it could be argued, and it might be true, that a campaign donor doesn't expect their money to go to a movie production, that's not what the law says. If the law didn't have for any other lawful purpose, then I think it would be more relevant with respect to, you know, how the campaign funds would be spent and whether or not we should be the guardians of you know, people donating funds to campaigns. It's just not what the law says right now. So I think for me, in this case, it is easier to say yes unless there's a specific reason for saying no. And also one other little comment on the advisory opinion process. I just want to make clear that I think we should hear from Requester, but we should also hear from them on legal issues, not just factual. And I don't think anybody said just factual issues. I don't want to presume that all we need to know is the facts, and then we're the only ones that can decide how to apply the law to that. I think it'd be useful to hear about both factual and legal analysis in the advisory opinion process.
Thank you very much. At this particular moment, I have a request to take a recess, so I'm going to honor that request, and we'll be back in the business in a quarter to 11. We're back on the air. We're reconvening. We're going to break a record today, and this is the first time in my experience when we've ever called a recess and reconvened before we said we were going to do it. So I think we're ready to go. In the interim, we got a request to table this matter to hear further clarification on the issues that were raised today. It's my understanding we have a consensus from the commissioners to go ahead and do that till next Thursday. Do I hear a motion to table until next Thursday? Hearing no motion.
I think we're ready to proceed on this side. So if you want a table, I think it's got to come. I think even the chair could probably make that under the rules.
I'll be happy to make
that. I'm asking for it. I'll do it myself either way.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we table this advisory opinion, draft advisory opinion 2009-11, until next week's meeting. Do I need to make any further record? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Brown has made a motion to table until next Thursday. Any debate? If not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Do I hear four? Commissioner McGinn?
Aye.
All in favor, we will table that until next Thursday. 5-0 vote. The next matter on the agenda is a Rodriguez audit, agenda document 0927. To proceed.
Good morning. Before you is the final audit report for Sierra Rodriguez for Congress for the 2006 election cycle. The audit report contained four findings. I do want to note that on page 9 of the report, the last sentence, the amount of contribution refunds that have cleared the bank has increased to $75,400. So that change would be made in the final audit report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions of any of the commissioners? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have relates to finding 4. Apologize. Let me get the draft report in front of me here. Essentially, finding 4 accuses this candidate of personal use of campaign funds, and I'm not entirely convinced that on these facts this is personal use. And whether this is a question of law or fact, it's probably how the law applies to facts, but I think the facts are clear, and I think so. It probably is a question of law. But as I understand it, there was a legal expense trust that was formed, and they had some excess funds, and apparently some of those funds had come from this candidate, and then the legal defense fund money was moved into the campaign. The campaign then repaid the candidate what at the time they thought was the candidate's funds. The candidate, I guess, spent the funds, but then subsequent to that, they realized that that was not what you were supposed to do, and I don't disagree with that. That was a problem. But then they took the candidate then repaid the campaign, and I think that money was then disgorged to the U.S. Treasury. So to me, once you sort of pull this knotted piece of string out, it actually stretches out tight with no knots, and it seems like it connects. So my question is, why is there this notion that there's a personal use dynamic?
The funds went directly from the trust account to the campaign, and the campaign incorrectly reported it as a loan from the candidate. Subsequent to that, the campaign refunded the entire amount of the loan to the individual, to the candidate. I think at that point, when the payment going back to the candidate, is at the point that we determined that it was personal use.
I don't disagree that the legal defense fund shouldn't have moved the money into the campaign, but it seems like a mistake, not really a personal use. It doesn't seem like he took campaign money and you know, put it in his pocket and ran off and did things with it. It seemed like he thought it was a loan. That was a mistake, and then when that became apparent, he then repaid the campaign and corrected. Corrected the misstep, and then I think, I'm correct, this money went to the U.S. Treasury.
That's correct.
Right?
Yep.
What else could he do to cure?
That was our recommended cure, and they complied.
And they complied.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I understand that you know, the campaign handed him money, and he took the money, but it was on the thought that it was a loan that I guess had been transferred over from the defense fund, and that was really the problem, moving the defense fund money into the campaign, which caused all these other issues. But I just don't see a violation of the personal use rules on these facts. If he didn't cure, maybe. If we don't have any evidence of any sort of intent to break the law, right? It seems
no,
to be kind of a...
No, we do not.
The big whoops, right? Thinking they can move it in the campaign and realize they couldn't. Now they've tried to cure. And they certainly made a mistake. I mean, that
right. And we state that in the report, that it appears to have been unintentional.
Right. And it's a series of mistakes, so it's tough to sort of sort through it. But the personal use angle, unless there's... Is any other cases where this has come up? Is this consistent? Is this finding consistent with what the commission's done before?
If I could jump in, our reading of the personal use regulation would be that it doesn't matter whether or not there's intent. The personal use regulation basically says that a candidate can't take funds in any campaign account and use it for uses that would not otherwise be incurred in connection with the campaign. So we interpreted that as including funds that may not have been in that campaign account in the first place, even though they were impermissible funds.
But it's certainly true that if a campaign owes the candidate money, say, for example, the candidate loaned money to the campaign, that can be repaid to the candidate.
That's correct.
That's
but
not personal
here that's
use.
Not the case. That money wasn't owed to the candidate. It was mistakenly reported.
Well, wait a second. Was it owed from the defense fund to the candidate? Or is that something we didn't really flesh out because, to turn my own words on, it's beyond our jurisdiction?
Well, the flow of the cash went directly from the legal defense fund to the campaign.
Right. But the money in the legal defense fund, do we have any evidence that it actually came from the candidate? Or is that what they represented to us?
No.
But they did claim that there was money owed from the defense fund to the candidate, and that's why that there's a loan. Isn't it sort of a circular?
No.
When the money went back from the campaign, or not back, let's that assumes a fact that I think we don't agree on. When the money went from the campaign to the candidate, did their report show that there was some sort of loan to the candidate? Whether that was correct or not is not my question, but was there?
It was reported as a loan.
Okay, so
payment of the loan.
Okay, now when was it determined that that was improper? Before or after this money went from the campaign to the candidate? My guess is after.
After, yes.
Right. So at the time the money went from the campaign to the candidate, there was a loan on the books. Okay. So it's okay. At that, let's assume the report's true, right? There's a loan. That's legal. Only after that point did the candidate, the campaign, and the auditors figure out that, well, there really isn't a loan because you kind of messed up moving the money from the defense fund. And then once he realized that there wasn't really a loan, I think he promptly paid the campaign and the campaign disgorged the money. So my point is, at the time the money moved from the campaign, there was a loan on the books, and to me that really fuzzes up the idea that we're going to label this personal use. Only if you sort of erase the loan act like the loan wasn't on the books at the time the money moved from the campaign to the candidate, do you get the personal use.
I have a question. Did the loan from the defense fund to the committee show us it was a loan from the candidate or from the
loan? Candidate, exactly.
From the candidate, okay. So the loan back, I guess it was, I missed that point earlier.
The committee does admit that it was not a loan. I mean, they
yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Just trying to get the process, how it went in, how it went out.
Yeah. The money that that went from the recount trust to the campaign is characterized in the committee's response, and was our understanding as well, as leftover money.
Hmm. Counsel?
So, Mr. Chairman, just to try to spin this out,
right.
We started with money in a recount fund that was transferred to the campaign committee based on what the committee has said was the bad advice of the local council. And I'd ask our colleagues in the audit division to jump in and stop me if I mess any of this up. There was then a reporting error because that money was a transfer from the recount fund to the committee, and that's all it was, but for whatever reason it was misreported as a loan personally from the candidate to the committee. 7 months later, the committee looks and decides, well, we don't need the candidate's money, and somebody's looking at the reports and saying, oh, well, we should give this back, and they do. And that money hadn't originated with the candidate in the first place, but they send it to him, compounding the two errors that had already occurred. Once the auditors come in and examine the transaction, the committee basically says, yes, we had bad advice of local counsel on the original transfer. The reporting error was a reporting error, and we just simply then didn't catch that it was a reporting error when we repaid the loan that we had reported to the commission in the first place. It's sort of a cascade of mistakes. Nobody thinks that there was any sort of intentional personal use on the part of the candidate, but the money was transferred from the committee to the candidate, and as a technical matter, that counts as a personal use.
The defense fund, or the leftover money, could have been transferred out, as I understand, directly to the candidate. It just never happened. So then the money went to the campaign, and
our interpretation of the federal law at the time was that this money probably could have been transferred to the candidate. However, this would be subject to state law as well, and we actually, the state law would be dependent on the terms of the trust at this point, and the auditors have actually requested that the committee provide the trust agreement, but my understanding is that was never provided.
That's correct.
So we don't have the trust agreement to determine definitively whether or not this money could have actually been transferred directly to the candidate.
I see. Council, or Commissioner, again.
Or whatever title you want to give me.
Take it.
Although that is an interesting slip, because in audit sometimes it does feel like we have to take on the role of, if we agree with the and in this case I do, the argument made by the council for this committee, you know, it becomes the commissioners who have to essentially carry the water, and it would be nice if it maybe give the respondents an opportunity to make their own arguments and not have the commissioners essentially step into their shoes from time to time, which creates an awkward sort of situation. The trust account documents are not something ordinarily we would see, right? Because it is a creature of state law. But we do have their representations to us, and we don't really have any reason to disagree that with what you said is our read of at least federal law, that the money in theory from the defense fund could have gone to the candidate. It's just they took that money, put it in the campaign, shifted it back to the candidate, subsequently figured out that was a problem, and they tried to cure. But what I don't understand is personal use is personal use of campaign funds. If the money should not have been the money was not really campaign funds, it was legal defense funds, it was put in the campaign and went to the candidate. So it's campaign funds for the purposes of the personal use rules, but it's not campaign funds for the purposes of any other rule. And this is not, I didn't come up with this on my own. This is the argument made by the respondent or the committee audited. I don't want to misuse the terms of art. How do we square that circle? Because it seems like we can't have it both ways and selectively decide when it's campaign funds and when it's not campaign funds.
Well, again, our reading of the personal fund or the personal use regulation would be that it includes any funds in a campaign account, which would include impermissible, excessive funds, that kind of thing.
So to take an absurd hypothetical, Latin American drug money ends up in a campaign, and that, you know, campaign takes that money. That's personal use of campaign funds, that they take that money and
the candidate then
illegal proceeds
money from the campaign account.
You know, money of a crime that the government could seize, it could actually be personal use of campaign funds if the candidate spent that. I mean, at that point, he has so many problems, personal use seems to be the least of his worries. But sometimes sort of using absurd hypotheticals illustrates, you know, real problems with theories. I mean, seems to me it's either campaign funds or it isn't. We all agree it's money that shouldn't have gone in the campaign. We all agree that they made a mistake. We all agree, Mr. Calvert's description of a cascade, that's the best word for this. I mean, this is sort of the proverbial dominoes. One mistake led to another mistake. But once they realized that they couldn't just move the money back to the candidate, they cured. And not only did they repay the campaign, they didn't take the money and move it back to the defense fund and then back to the candidate. They could have tried to pull that one, right? But they didn't. They took the money, they disgorged it to the U.S. Treasury, which to me is this sort of a belt and suspenders approach to cleaning this up, and that, you know, they're not really trying to fight anything else in the audit, I don't think. They're conceding essentially that they, you know, this was a mistake. It's, you know, less than $6,500, so it's not the end of the world. It wasn't spent on the campaign. Doesn't seem like there's any sort of appearance of corruption here, right? It doesn't seem like this money is tied to anything else, and there's no evidence of that. So it really just turns on whether or not it's personal use. And to me, I hear you, but when you sort of see how the money flowed and that he paid it back and it was really a mistake, I see that as different from what really is personal use, which is the conversion of campaign funds that really are campaign funds for, you know, buying clothing or paying country club dues or all the list of things, and then whatever else we do on a case-by-case basis. I don't see this as a personal use on these facts. And the original question I had, which I still haven't heard an answer, is there any other commission matters, whether it's MERS or audits or AOs, that have these sorts of facts where money came into a campaign that shouldn't have and then went to the candidate, that sort of thing, where the commission's already decided this sort of issue? Or is this really kind of a first time because of the uniqueness of these facts?
There's nothing that would really address these specific facts where it's so clearly a mistake. No.
I guess to conclude, Mr. Chairman, I can support the audit report except for the conclusion in finding four that indicates that it's personal use. So I can support the audit otherwise, but for the personal use finding.
Okay, thank you. I guess I'm under the impression that money coming out of the legal defense, call it a trust or a fund, could have been distributed directly to him. If that would have been an illegal transfer there, then you're taking money that would have been unable legally to have been transferred to him. It goes into the campaign and then comes out to him. That's how hard for me to buy that. If it was the money that he could have done if he'd just done the bookkeeping racket. I think we've always kind of struggled with the idea. If you kind of get into the problem, do you really punish somebody when they try and get out of it? It's like jumping into some quicksand, and then you penalize them when they try and get out. And here, the money kind of takes on a tar baby approach, and you can't quite get rid of it in the right way, unless, I guess, the campaign just disgorged it out to the Treasury directly. I guess that would have been something they could have done. Mr. Stoltz, you've been through this for a number of years. If in fact it would have been illegal under to transfer it to him, then do you reconcile that with how do you is that how you approach that or not? I guess I have a view that money could have come straight out to him legally.
Again, we don't know whether it could have gone legally straight to the candidate. If it could have, I suspect it would be a different tax treatment than if it flowed the way it did flow. It didn't, and so I certainly acknowledge that the candidate, once this was pointed out to him and the recommendation was made how to cure it, they did precisely what we asked. They paid it over to the Treasury, I think partly because, as I understand it, the trust had closed. And so it wasn't possible to put it back where it came from. And we've had personal use issues before where once it's pointed out, candidate repays and divests the funds. But that didn't mean that it wasn't a personal use situation to begin with. I've never had one quite like this. I mean, this is certainly a different set of facts than we've seen before, and as Larry said, it appears that it was sort of mistake piled on mistake piled on mistake. But I think in the end, at least until we pointed out, the funds wound up in the candidates' accounts from the committee's accounts.
I guess, is there any letter of caution approach that could be taken in this one? It seems to me that the candidate just finally said, fine, take the money, I'll disgorge it, and I never want to hear about the problem again. And it was just an error that occurred, but I don't know. Commissioner McGann.
I don't know if a letter of caution fits in this situation because
I'm not sure either.
At the end of the day, the audit report is going to go public. The public is going to see what happened. I don't think there's any disagreement that there were a number of mistakes here. So I mean, there's a lot of, really not yellow lights, a lot of red lights here, and we are sort of declaring that this fellow broke the law in certain ways, and that is what it is. The audit report is currently drafted, and looking at the last paragraph, page 12, the audit staff maintains that personal use restrictions are applicable to these CRFC funds that were paid directly to the candidate. I think if there aren't four votes for that, and this is a much larger issue that we don't really need to discuss today, but at the end of the day, it is up to the commission to either adopt the audit report or not. So my suggestion, if we leave what the audit staff maintains in there, then I think we have to add a sentence that would say whether or not if the commission adopts this and there's four votes, then we don't need to change it. If we move the audit report, or if someone should move the audit report and it doesn't pass, then we maybe add a sentence to this saying that this did not, you know, the commission did not adopt the position of the auditors. So then the public still knows what happened, right? So I don't know if we need an extra letter to the campaign saying you've been through an audit for a couple years and the commission has already publicly said you've made a mistake. But I think that's accomplished. But I hear your goal, but my view, I think it's accomplished by, you know, the other 11 pages of the audit report.
Commissioner Barron?
Thank you. I would approve this audit report as is, but I hear the concerns about, in particular, the booking of the loan, the initial mistake made the transfer to the candidate appear to be lawful. I don't think that it was, because the original book of the loan was wrong. But I do think that the report does accurately and fairly sort of lay out what happened, and that the committee, you know, acknowledged that this was simply a mistake. There was no intent to try to move some money that they otherwise couldn't have moved. And while I don't think we can conclusively say what state law would have permitted, it appears that they probably, there if their goal was really to get the candidate the money, there probably was another way to do it. I think this was just a mistake when they transferred the money and then booked the loan. So it sounds like there are not four votes for the audit report as it stands, and as I understand your, I don't know if it's quite a proposal yet, but I understand you want to, your suggestion would be to add a sentence that said, you know, there were not four votes to approve this particular position. Is that some, I'm just trying to understand what you're looking for, because as I said, I would approve as is. I understand there may not be four votes, so I'm trying to understand what we would be looking at.
I think I'd ask Mr. Stoltz, because this has happened before, mm-hmm. and you would never know it if you asked some, but it happened even before some of us got here, right, where the commission hasn't necessarily adopted what the audit has suggested the law may be, or how the law applies to certain facts or whatever. And I think there is sort of a sentence that you've used from time to time, not the we accept the audit, but the other one where I think we've had it recently. But to maintain consistency, I think that's the language we're looking for, and I don't want to necessarily freewheel it at the table.
It's easily enough done.
Okay.
If that's what.
So I guess just one final point. I think this is true. If the defense fund, and assuming we're right on state law, the defense fund had taken the money, transferred it to the candidate, and the candidate then loaned that money to the campaign, and then the campaign paid that money back to the candidate, that would be legal.
This is the question I have. I think there's still a question as to whether that could come out of that campaign fund to the candidate. I think, and that was one that had me back up a little bit on it, because that would have been an illegal transfer. He'd obtained the money illegally and then transferred it to the campaign and then got it back, and it would have been was disgorged ultimately. But
it's probably not my place to sort of get into what is Texas law and legal defense funds. But I have a little bit of experience with Texas legal defense funds. Generally, I think what we've heard today is accurate as to what is state law. The wrinkle here is this candidate's also an incumbent member of Congress. So, you know, there's the House gift rules, right?
He actually wasn't a member of Congress
at the time. He wasn't,
because
this was in the redistricting gap, right? He had the districts changed, right? So at the time he wasn't. So House gift rules are not going to matter. But my understanding of state law, for what it's worth, having done this before I got here, is that he could, particularly since he's not a member, actually, so long as he, you know, or income tax laws and that kind of thing may kick in, but it would be legal for him to take the defense fund money and have it go to him personally, and then once it's his money, he loans it to the campaign, and then the campaign pays him back. That would be legal, assuming I'm right on the state law.
Assuming that, and also assuming that the trust agreement itself allows the candidate to pocket that money.
Right.
Because certain funds would contain personal use restrictions.
I see the trust agreement as a subset of state law.
And we just don't know that.
Right. But that's why I'm saying assume.
Right. Okay, assuming all of that.
Assuming all of that. Right. Sort of the Big Bang theory. Assume, and then, you know, here we are. So maybe that helps the chairman and his assistant in his thinking.
I always can use assistance in their thinking, so I do appreciate that. And I guess it's not us to try and guess what the trust provisions are like and assume that they're not possible under Texas law. I'd be comfortable with that approach. I think Commissioner Barrell indicated she would if we want to move on and note that this was an area that came up, and this is not the way it's done, but let it be known that as long as there's a clear message that in a case like this, it's not to be done this way. But, Mr. Vice Chairman, did I indicate the sense desire to speak?
I just want to be clear on where we're going, just to make sure that it sounds like we're maybe forging some sort of consensus here, but I don't want to assume it without getting the express hearing the express wishes of my colleagues. But it sounds like we're kind of steering more towards keeping the audit report as is, adding a sentence of the sort that we've added in the past that Mr. Stoltz has indicated would be easy enough to include, and then passing it in that form. But it seems that we may be arriving at that point, but I just want to be clear. And if we are, I'd be happy to make the motion. But
let's just take a minute and see if we can get it clear in our own minds and get some more assistance in the thinking. Well, we can meet now. The commission began. Do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion. I'd like to move the adoption of the recommended audit reports findings 1, 2.
Excuse me, Commissioner. You're not on mic.
I'm not. How about now? That was odd. Thank you. For everyone other than Commissioner Hunter, who probably heard me, I'd like to make a motion move that the commission adopt the recommended final audit report findings 1, 2, and 3. And I'm leaving off finding 4 and purpose to deal with that with a separate motion.
Okay.
That's the most expeditious way.
Any discussion on that motion? If not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We approve that motion 5-0. And do you have another motion, Commissioner McGann?
I'd like to adopt finding 4, the recommended final audit report, but to modify it consistent with the discussion at the table, specifically adding language at the end that makes clear that there was not sufficient commission. The commission did not adopt the finding regarding whether or not this was personal use, but I guess the document would then speak for itself as to whether or not we are adopting the rest, and that'll speak for itself. So that's my motion. If that's sufficiently clear.
Okay, any further question, Mr. Bowery? Do you have any question?
I just want to make sure I know what I'm voting on.
Reasonable.
Because I'm crafty.
I'm just tired.
Me too.
So your motion is to include language that simply states there were not sufficient votes to adopt. I don't want, as I've stated previously, I'm fine with the idea and think that personal use restrictions apply to any of the funds, even if they happen to be drug cartel funds. I would be okay with that because I think that's not the purpose of a campaign account, and you know, so I have no problem with that finding. I don't want my vote on your motion to be viewed as not approving the position that personal use restrictions apply, but simply that I acknowledge there are not 4 votes to approve that finding.
That's the intent.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Then I will be happy to vote for your motion.
Mr. Stoltz, do you have anything to add on how you would approach it? Are we
Only would the commission then like to force to send it around on a 48-hour no objection?
Yes, I think very good suggestion. All right. I'd like to add that to my motion.
All right, thank you. Any further comment? Comment from council? All right, sounds good. All in favor of that motion? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion passes 5-0. Mr. Staff Director, do we have any management administrative matters to discuss?
None at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you. Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.